Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Really, really great to be with you this morning. Again, my name is Pastor Tim Brown. I'm the Director of Congregational Stewardship for the ELCA, which means I go around the country and I help churches and help synods kind of fuel their ministries and figure out ways to fuel their ministry. And I'm really glad to be back at Holly Grove. A couple of things I want to say before we get absolutely started this morning. The first is, this last week I was doing some work, and I was working with the South Dakota Synod. And South Dakota, kind of like North Dakota, is big enough so they have their own synod. So a bishop, and they have some synod's associates and whatnot. And one of my very good seminary friends happens to be the assistant to the bishop in South Dakota. So Johnny and I are talking, and by the way, I'm the only one who's allowed to call him Johnny, apparently. Because, you know, he's a 44-year-old man. And so he says, no one else can call me Johnny but you. Which I think is because I'm the godfather of his son, but I don't know. Anyway, so Johnny and I were talking, and he was like, yeah, you know, Tim, I was preaching at this church this last weekend, and I show up, and they have red pyramids and red stoles and everything, and it's because they were doing a Saints Day, a feast day, but I had prepared a sermon for the regular reading of the day, not the feast day, and I had about 15 minutes before service. And I said, oh, what'd you do? He said, well, I do what you do. I go in the back and I scribbled some notes and here we go, right? And I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning and I thought to myself, oh man, did I prepare on the wrong text for today? And I went and I looked and I did not. You have the right text for today. But I was very worried for a second. But unfortunately, the sermon that I had prepared for today, I had used a lot of stuff from last week's reading, and I come to find out, doing a little discovery, that you didn't have last week's readings last week. You had something totally different. And so at 5 a.m., I did what any responsible pastor did, and I rewrote the sermon. So the sermon you're having today was not the original sermon that I thought. The original sermon that I was going to preach was excellent. It was great. It was really good. Yeah, we'll see what this one does, all right? The other unfortunate thing that you'll know about living in my house, I have two boys. Finley is 12 and Alistair is 10. They go off to camp today at Camp Agape. We'll send them off after this. But that means that our printer at home gets a lot of usage. And so even though I rewrote the sermon this morning at 5 a.m., there was no ink in the printer. So what you have before you is the old-fashioned handwritten sermon, a la my father, way back when we were young and full of dreams. So, here we go. You ready? Pray with me. Gracious God, you send us out into the world, a world that is divided in so many ways, a world that is torn in so many ways. Today, our hearts are with those who have been divided from their families in floods in Texas, who have been divided from their families for all sorts of reasons, who are divided in themselves for all sorts of reasons. And in all of those areas, we pray one thing in your name today, peace. Amen. So I know it's the 4th of July weekend, but I have a Canadian band on my mind. And y'all have heard me preach before, so you know I got to sing just a little bit in every sermon. And that's only because that's how my mind works, and I'm sorry. That's just how it works. So I have a Canadian band on my mind this morning in light of this passage from Luke today. And it's a Canadian band that had a one-hit wonder in America. I think it had a couple other hits in Canada, but it's a one-hit wonder. And always, when you reference a band, by the way, in church, you never know what you're going to get. Some of you may recognize this tune, some of you may not. But it's from a band called the Five-Man Electric Band. And it goes, sign, sign, everywhere a sign. You all know it? Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs? Signs. Signs are on my mind this morning in light of this reading because, well, signs give us instructions. They give us anywhere, everything. Or signs also allow us to protest. Or signs give us directions, like a signpost. Signs tell us which way to go and where to get once we get to the destination, even what to do when we're there. That's what signs do. Signs can be a warning. I don't know how many of you have been to the national parks, any of them. What are some of the signs that you see at national parks? What? Don't feed the bears. You think we wouldn't have to have a sign about that, right? You think that would be a thing. My sons watch videos on YouTube of bears breaking into cars because people leave food in their cars. There are signs all over the place. Don't leave food in your cars. Bears can smell them through the windows. A bear was breaking into a car. My son said, "Dad, look at that." And I said, "Yeah, bears are terrible drivers. You just never know." Signs all over the place. One of the worst signs I've ever seen in my life was in a church. It was a sign in the nursery. You know what the sign said? "Do not make a mess." In the nursery. What are kids supposed to do? Signs. Signs, signs, everywhere sign. Today in the gospel, Jesus gives these 70 disciples who he sends out to go ahead of him directions on how to minister, and they're to go with a sign. And what is the sign that they are to bring? Does anybody remember? Peace. A sign of peace. For all you hippies out there, you know that actually the first verse of the five-man electrical band Signs, "Signs said long-haired freaky people need not apply." Signs. Signs of peace. That's the first sign that Jesus gives the disciples to give to people who he visits. But see, peace when Jesus talks about it is not like peace when the world talks about it. The world talks about peace as if peace is just an absence of conflict. That's not peace. I mean, in some houses, there's lots of peace because there's quiet, but that's because there's a threat of violence if you're not. That's not peace. That's just quiet. Jesus doesn't ask us to bring quiet. Jesus asks us to bring peace. Peace means wholeness. Peace means fighting against injustice and dehumanization and telling hard truths in hard times, because that's the only way that you actually get peace, not just quiet. That's the sign that these disciples are to bring to the house. Peace. Wholeness. Peace. And then Jesus says, once you get there and you bring them a sign of peace, here are some instructions on what you're to do. Carry no purse, because, beloved, you are not going to buy their peace. And bring no bag, because you are not going to collect anything from them. It's not that kind of peace. And bring no sandals, because when the going gets tough, you're not just going to up and leave. You're going to stick around. And don't greet anyone on the way, because then you might get distracted. You have one job to do, Jesus says, and that's to bring peace. The church has one job to do, and it's to bring peace. And you're not going to buy peace with political influence or any monetary influence. And you're not going to bring a bag so you can accept gifts so that you be quiet when other people aren't being peaceful. And you're not going to get distracted along the way. You are to bring peace. You are to tell others that God's kingdom is near. And when God is on the scene, we have wholeness and we have peace. A sign of peace, real peace, injustice disrupting peace. And peace takes time. It takes community. After all, that's why one of the reasons why Jesus says bring no money, because you're going to live off of the goodness of the community. And Jesus says, you know, bring no sandals, because you're not going to up and go even when the going gets tough. A sign of deep togetherness means that we don't abandon each other when things get tough, beloved. We don't abandon each other when things get tough. Real peace takes sticking to it. You are there to stay, to be together, to be peace together. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's how the kingdom of God comes near. Community is built around the God of peace. A sign seen in the cosmos at the very beginning of the story with the star in the sky. The sign, sign, everywhere a sign. everywhere. These instructions, carry no purse, carry no bag, carry no sandals. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm not very good at following instructions. In fact, you don't have to ask me, just ask my wife. She will tell you, I'm not very good at following instructions. On Christmas morning, unless it can probably be fixed, she's the one who should put it together. Because when I put things together, we'll figure it out. Let's just do it. I had this problem on Father's Day. For Father's Day, I got a new grill. It's great. Beautiful grill. I put them together a million times. My son, Finley, 12, he's helping me put together this grill. We get about 3/4 of the way through, and he's holding up a piece, and he goes, where does this one go? And I look at it, and I go, oh, that went like 5 steps before. All right, here we go. And he was like, you know, this wouldn't take as much time if you would just follow the directions. I said, yeah, but it's not as fun if you do it that way, right? Instructions are hard. They're hard to follow, and I'm not very good at it. I think Christians, too, are not very good sometimes at following the instructions of Jesus, because instead of relying on the community and peace that comes when we're together, we rely on other things, like the insistence that we all think the same thing all the time, or the insistence that we all vote the same way all the time, or the insistence that, well, when the going gets tough, half of us can get up and leave and just do something else. Jesus gives instructions not to do any of that. And yet that's how we operate in this world. If the going gets tough, we get up and go. Or we buy our way into power. Or we pay people off. Or we accept gifts so that we can stay quiet. I'm not good at following instructions. I don't think the church is either. We mess this up all the time. You know, that old song goes, and they'll know we are Christians by our right doctrine and correct beliefs. Right doctrine and correct beliefs. Love, not anything else. Love that takes time to foster. It takes peace. The absence of injustice and harm and dehumanization. The absence of those things. See, I think Jesus knew that we are kind of terrible at following directions, following instructions. And so even though he tells them to bring words of peace, I think Jesus understood that probably in the long run, this isn't going to happen. That the signs of peace would fade in the hands of humans and instead would be twisted and turned into signs of control and mixed messages of not just peace, but of behavior conformity and doctrinal purity and political conformity. And so in the end, Jesus does something different. Well, he gives these 70 disciples the instructions on how to make peace in the kingdom of God. He knew that this world would not allow us to do that for very long. And so instead, in the end, Jesus gave us a sign. A sign of just how far Jesus was going to go to be with us. A sign of just how far Jesus was going to go with no purse, and no sandals, and no bag. He was not going to be paid off or pay us off, and he was not going to abandon us when things get hard. A sign that love will stop at nothing. Stop at nothing. Not even the signs the religious elites were holding up to him. Not even the signs that the political powers were holding up to him. Not even the signs of the threat of death that was holding up to him. God's love for us, for humanity, for the world would not stop, even if we messed up the instructions. God's love will not stop at anything. Can't you read the sign? You know, the third verse of this song by the Five Man Electric Band. The sign said, everybody welcome, come and kneel down and pray. But when they passed the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I took a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive and feeling fine. I pray that God give us the ability to bring peace, real peace, to the places that we are. And I pray that we are able to better follow the instructions to not want to be paid off or to pay others off, to not abandon each other when things get tough, to not even get distracted with anything else in this world that is trying to disrupt us from the ways that we can bring peace to each other. But I pray that if those things happen, and when those things happen, when we forget, and when we mess up, that we remember that in the end of it all, it is not what we do, but whose we are that matters. And who God is that matters. And who is God? God is the one that even when we mess up the instructions, and even when we forget the directions, and even when we forget what true peace is, will stay with us even until the very end. And if you need proof, beloved, just read the signs.